Hey, this is Phil on the podcast today. We talk about our sermon series in the book of Job. I know a lot of you have communicated great feedback on that, and so we're going to interact with some of that. So enjoy the conversation.
Welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible Church. I'm your host and producer, Andrew, joined as always by Phil Oxer, the pastor here at Crestview, and our frequent correspondent, Luke, who's joined us as well. And we're here today to talk about the current sermon series in the book of Job, to explore some of the nuances, things we don't get to talk about maybe on a Sunday, to talk about the themes and why we're studying it. So without further ado, I'll toss it over to you, Phil.
Yeah, right. So obviously we've been in this series a few weeks now, and depending on when this episode's released, we'll be nearing the end, I would imagine. And we haven't done an episode yet on this series and kind of what the heart was behind it. And I think most of you probably at this point know the heart behind it, because we kind of reiterate that week in and week out. just addressing some of the common questions that you might have around that. I think one of the questions, you know, dealing with the book of Job, as we have, is why aren't we just handling this line by line, paragraph by paragraph? I mean, I think that's the regular rhythm we do a lot of times when we study books. But many of you know, like, especially when we've gone to Old Testament books in recent years, we've tried to kind of skim across the waters quick to get to the gist. And so 42 chapters in Job, and we've kind of randomly done that. So how this worked in my mind was, we obviously want to do the intro message, which maybe we should take a moment and just talk about that. So we introduced the theme of, like, undeserved suffering, the church, unexplained suffering, unexplained suffering, Jesus and the church. So consistently, I hope you're hearing kind of that in the residue of the sermon, that we're dealing with Job, who's gone through the unexplained suffering.
Yeah, he's confused.
I don't know
why this is happening, and sufferers today might be feeling the same way. I have no idea what's going on. We get a glimpse, you know, this side of it. We understand chapters 1 and 2, mm-hmm. but Job in the midst doesn't get that, and most of us, as we walk through it, we don't get that either.
Right, and so then we come to the text with a very big presupposition, because we're Christian believers, that the Bible is about Jesus. It's a Christian document. I know I have friends that don't think the Emmaus Road means that Jesus dealt with all the Old Testament or whatever, but whatever. They can feel whatever they feel. I don't believe any New Testament believer on this side of the resurrection is looking at all that happened and going, yeah, that had nothing to do with Jesus. I mean, I think everybody's... So, I mean, we come with a contention that the book of Job is somehow pointing us to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so how Jesus sustains us in suffering, how Jesus has been through suffering, how Jesus is our hope in suffering. So every week, I don't know when this is going to drop. I know we have work in the works. One particular week is just going to... The outline's entirely about Jesus, mm-hmm. because we are so relentless in wanting you all to see that you are not alone in suffering, that you have a Savior who's been there, mm-hmm. and how he can sustain you. So, yeah, this is my mini sermon in the podcast.
Well, I mean, hopefully you'll be able to see,
yes,
that at the end of every sermon, yes. Jesus is lifted high.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's that. At the end of the day, we can walk through it having no idea what's going on. We can have people that say ridiculous things, but at the end, our hope is Christ. That's our anchor.
Right.
What is it that we sing this song? Our sure and steady anchor.
Yeah.
Right. In the fury of the storm. He's got it, and he's with us. He's walking with us. So hopefully you as a listener is able to get a sense. Every sermon is going to land on there.
Yeah.
Right. He's going to finish with that.
And man, I think we want you to hold us accountable in that. If you walk out of there and we haven't given you Jesus, then I want you to come up and, like, sing the Backstreet Boys to me and be like, quit playing games with my heart. You know, like, or is that in sync?
I don't know.
Anyway, like, we're playing church games if we're not directing you to Jesus. Like, he's the one.
I want you to come up and tell Phil, you're fired.
Yeah, right. Hey, you're fired. Right? You're done. No, but we want to give you Jesus. Every week we want him to be the residue that's left on you. And then the third aspect, unexplained suffering, Jesus and the church. You've heard that in sermons that I've given, like where I'm really coming after kind of the way we support people in suffering, because I want us to be better. On all the ups and downs of life, you know, like we never are going to respond to suffering perfectly, correctly, because we are finite. We are sinners. But as the church, we are redeemed people who are in process of being made like Christ. So we want to hold out a better way to you. We want to hold out a way to you that you can, you don't have to be like these three friends. And we're all going to be like the three friends. That's the tension. Like I read Bildad the Jewite and I'm like, this is me. Like, this is me in my younger days. This is me, you know, less mature. This is me.
This is my impulse. Sometimes.
This is my impulse last week, yes. You know, right? So all that's, so we really want this book to help equip us as a body to respond to suffering well. And so I'm thinking of that one week where I just listed the 12 steps from Eric Orland about how we can speak. You know, we're really just trying to give you some tools to how you can respond better. And some of that is just the posture. I think I know somebody said to me after one of the sermons, like, so what exactly should I say? And I said, if you could ask God that question when you're in the midst of suffering with someone, when you're coming alongside to care for someone in suffering, if that question could just give you one more second of pause, then I think the sermon series has been worth it to help equip you to that end. So responding of how we could be better as the church. That's really a lot of what's driving that. So we've hit those three purposes. That's where we began with this series. You know, I don't know, as we end the book, those are the things that we just keep coming back to. And so we introed that, and then we dealt with the reason we skipped all around was to get to this. We wanted to give you a sense of Job's suffering in 1 and 2. And then we wanted to deal with the lament of chapter 3, which is so huge. So I think a lot of sermon series in Job are like 4 weeks. Like, hey, Job had a rough day. You know, some people didn't respond to him very well, but, you know, God came through and life's all, he's hashtag blessed again. You know, and I think we wanted to do a little more work in the text because it is so many chapters. So we dealt with the lament of chapter 3. Then we dealt with the significant chapter with Job and speaking in chapter 9. Then we wanted to do a sermon that kind of represented what kind of some of the boneheaded mistakes these guys are making. Some of the numbskull moves and how we might not go there, but certainly at times we're thinking it.
Yeah, I think you said a lack of tact.
Yeah, lack of tact. That's right. And then dealing with how Job responded to that. And then as we kind of transition towards the second half of the book, then we're thinking about Job has a final speech that we're going to do some digging in chapters 29 to 31. We have to do something with this other character that shows up, Elihu, who is a young wise guy, right? So there's a lot of debate about whether Elihu's good or bad, what he's trying to do in the text, but I think at the very least we could say that there's something different about him compared to the other three guys. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to drop the spotlight on that. And then we have God speaking, which we want to give God plenty of room to speak and try to reckon with that. And then we, you know, come to the end. So hopefully this series is giving you a better flavor of the book and a better layout. And yeah, we could have spent a lot more chapters dealing into all the back and forth between these guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one way we could have handled it, but we're choosing kind of a middle way. We're not doing the 4 week thing or the 3 week thing where you had a bad day and God made it all better. No, it's a little more than that, where let's settle into this story for a bit. So what are some other things that are emerging for you guys?
Phil, I seem to remember in the book of Job, doesn't he say something about his redeemer?
Right,
is that
right,
the book of Job? What do we do with that?
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. So, That's
Nicole C. Mullen, actually.
Right. Yeah, right. She knows her Redeemer lives. She spoke with him this morning. So that's a really good song. If you're looking for something that's probably more edifying than what we're saying, look up Nicole C. Mullen, My Redeemer Lives, and it's a great rendition of Job 19. I think the Redeemer aspect that Job draws out in Job 19, which is I think what you're getting at, is it is he's Job has confidence, even though he's going through everything, that God will be his kinsman redeemer. Like God will be the goel is the Hebrew word, where he will be the one who comes and makes all this right. And what's amazing is if you think about Job's timetable, this is all happening before we have the idea of a kinsman redeemer in the law. This is before the book of Ruth. This is before all that is fleshing out. Job is saying, like, I know that I have a redeemer who's going to advocate for me at court, because it talks about on the last day he will stand upon the earth. The idea is that, like he will take the judgment seat, like the stand. He will be, at the end, the one who's standing and advocating for Job at the end. So it's a really amazing picture that Job can have this after being told to go to hell. So it's just fascinating. Like, Job basically is told, you're going to hell. And then Job's response is, well, at the end, I have a redeemer who's going to stand for me. And he's not only going to redeem, but he's going to be standing in the end. Like, even if death ends up being, you know, I think the hymn says that. And say, as the death dew lies heavy on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus is now. That's what Job's basically confessing. Like, as even if death has come, then my Redeemer is going to make this right. He's going to establish it. So, I mean, there's so many good news moments in the book of Job that that's another reason I think we wanted to go there. So, yeah, are there other things that have stood out to you?
Just feedback? The application. Yeah. Of, I think back what you're saying of how the church can respond. I think of ways in which I have responded in the past. I'm thinking back, I try to apply that each and every week, or try to look at the applications each and every week. What does that mean for my ministry to those who are walking through suffering? I think that many of our body do want to walk beside people. Yes. That's their impulse. It's like, right. Man, I want to be with people in their suffering, but I don't know what that looks like, right? So, you know, we were talking earlier that some of my application from a previous week was, man, my impulse is, hey, when you're in this situation, what did you do to get in that spot? Right. Yeah. So, you know, I walk with a lot of people who are in low income. Yeah. Right. So, man, so what did you do in your past that led you to this? Right. Mm. So what you were talking the other week from chapter 18, right. So your sin, you know, is leading you into this thing. And not to run to there, right? Because I wasn't there in chapter 1 and 2 of their lives, right?
Yeah.
So who am I to say that?
Right.
And then even in parenting, right? So people come to us, man, my child is just so frustrating. I don't know what to do in this moment. And then for some reason, my inclination and my hardened heart is to say, well, because your parenting method is wrong. Like, because you've done something in your parenting that led to have your child to be like this. And so I'm just repenting from that stupidity.
Right.
That's the application that I'm putting into my life.
Right. Jesus, you know, the Pharisees are coming up, you know. Who caused this man to be born blind? Himself or his parents, you know?
Right.
What they do. Somebody had to do something wrong, otherwise he wouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe. Then we got Job, though.
Yeah.
Causing us to pump the brakes on this.
Yeah.
Line of thinking. So yeah, it is so compelling and challenging, because I think part of that flows out of an inclination to want to fix it, right?
Yeah.
We want to be helpful to people. And that's a lot of the feedback I've gotten from people. Like, yes, I want to be helpful. Like, I don't want to say something foolish. I want to be helpful. I want to say something. And like, I think probably for some of our people, they even want to say a good scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope this is just saying to them, like, maybe just say something related to Jesus. Jesus is going to restore it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Like the three Hebrew boys going into the fire, you know, like, we're confident that our God's going to save us.
If he doesn't.
Even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, so which is it? Is he going to save you or not? You know, and I think that's kind of, in Job, we need to have that kind of, this is a temporary thing, and yet God's at work. And so if we're privileged to step into that, we want to be faithful and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So unexplained suffering, Jesus and the church. I mean, it's a, you know, I hope the residue of this lasts a long time in the life of our body, because I know for me, it's just been so helpful to think about caring for people. And I've already seen that, you know, as I've interacted with someone who came in this week, just overwhelmed and talking about something, and what was said to Job was at the forefront of my mind. Like, I don't want to be one of these people. This person's hurting, and so I just need to sit with them. I need to let them voice their lament. I need to be ready to point them to Jesus and how he can encourage, make him the hope. So, yeah, those are some of the things that we're after in this Job series.
Yeah. Well, we come up against the edge of our time. We hope this has been beneficial for you as we continue our study through Job on Sunday mornings together. It's been a blessing to my heart to meditate on our Savior in the midst of our suffering. So Flipside listenership, it is a growing listenership, but if there are those that you think would be benefited by joining, please spread the word. That's not the intent, to grow in numbers, but to just better equip the people of Crestview. So we're glad that you would join the conversation, and we'll catch you next time on the Flipside.